Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Today on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, delicious fruit curd for pies, tarts, and more. The drink of the week and my sweet tooth. That's all coming up this week on What's for Dinner. What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's Famous Sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available, Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, love to talk about food. Sometimes I cook real flops. This weekend, no flops. I think everything turned out the way I was hoping it would, and as far as food goes. And I had a nice Easter Sunday. I hope everybody else did too. Of course, we dyed Easter eggs this weekend. That was fun. I spent quite a bit of the weekend testing different bread doughs and bread recipes. I made a fermented dough that I had for over a week fermenting in the refrigerator. So I made some white boulets with that. I also tested a couple sourdough recipes, one using mostly sourdough and a little bit of yeast. And then I also made a couple loaves of all sourdough bread this weekend, which turned out pretty good. So that was a success in testing some bread recipes. Going to continue to keep working on bread recipes. It's fun. I enjoy spending time practicing baking. And then Easter Sunday, I made dinner. Here's what was on the menu. Well, of course, for hors d'oeuvres, you can't have Easter Sunday dinner without having some deviled eggs, right? So we had deviled eggs, and the deviled eggs, they were actually made by, a fifth grader, a five-year-old, a kindergartner. They were delicious. And then I made a kale, cabbage, and apple salad with a creamy buttermilk dressing. Very light kind of a creamy buttermilk dressing. It wasn't too heavy. And roasted lemon and stuffed game hens. Those were good. Sea salt roasted asparagus. And we also had potatoes. So au gratin potatoes very, very good. And then carrot cake for dessert. I wonder how many of you out there had carrot cake for dessert yesterday. It's the perfect Easter dinner dessert, I think. And that was Easter dinner at my house. So I'm going to give you the recipe for a few of those dishes today. And also, I was inspired by that strawberry curd recipe last week on What's for Dinner that went with the strawberry lemon muffins we talked about. So today we're going to also talk about different curds. But getting back to dinner last night, kale, cabbage, and apple salad, super easy. Right now you can get lots of good kale in the grocery stores, and many people have kale growing from last year. I know our neighbor here at KFSK has some kale that she's had all winter long, and it's continuing to grow. Maybe seeds are already up from last year, reseeded themselves, but I did buy kale at the grocery store, and I bought it. Hammer and Wecon had a large selection of kale this Easter, and so I bought a couple different types of kale. Chopped it up. So I had a nice purple leaf kale and a green leaf kale, and I just happened to have a half of a head of cabbage in the refrigerator that needed to be used up. I sliced it really thin. The kale I chopped up really small, and then I took an apple. It depends on how many you're feeding. I probably could have used more apple, but take an apple and cut it into small matchsticks. You know, you need to take your time with that. And then just toss it all together. And with that, I just made a creamy buttermilk dressing. And the buttermilk dressing I made was super, super easy. It's basically, I just took a little buttermilk, put it in a jar, maybe halfway full. So probably a cup of buttermilk in a pint jar. And then I took a spoonful of mayonnaise. So whatever kind of mayonnaise you want to use. A spoonful of that. And a half of a lemon. I also added some onion flakes to that. A little bit of, I was just using what I had in the fridge. I was in a hurry. I used a little bit of pickle juice. And then some salt, some fresh ground pepper. I wanted it to have some pepper. A little bit of red pepper flake in it. And a tad bit of garlic. And just put the lid on your jar and shake, shake, shake. Put it back in the refrigerator. Let it sit for at least a half an hour. And you just get this nice, tart, creamy buttermilk dressing from that. And I just dressed the whole salad with dressing and tossed it. I should have remembered to take an egg. An egg would have been really good in that. A hard-boiled egg, since we had them. Chopped up in there would have been great in that salad too. So next time I will definitely do that and probably throw in a few sunflower seeds. But kind of the end of the day, I'm getting ready to have dinner, and the salad dressing and salad was like the last on my list, but it was super good, super good. But do add some sunflower seeds in there, or pumpkin seeds, or some hard-boiled egg. It really makes a nice salad. It's hearty, but yet light. Has a lot of flavor. The kale has a nice, bite to it. And the cabbage, too. And then the sweetness and tartness of the apple, both. With the creaminess of the buttermilk. And you get those black pepper flakes from the fresh ground black pepper. It's good. So I suggest giving it a try. Also, roasted game hens stuffed with lemon. I love having a game hen. We hardly ever buy game hens. Probably for us, mostly because I like to buy as much organic poultry as I can. But every now and then, you can't. You know, I mean, turkeys and game hens, you can't find those here in town. And I'm not going to let that stop me from having a really good game hen every now and then. And so yesterday I cooked up several of them. So thaw your game hen appropriately, or hens, and then I just sprinkle a little salt and pepper inside the cavity of each game hen, and I cut off any extra fat there. Also cut off some extra fat, And then I had some really nice ripe Meyer lemons. I cut them in half, and I squeezed a little of the lemon inside the hen, and then put the whole, put the half in the hen, and tied the legs so they were together with a little bit of twine, and put those into your baking, your roasting pan. I had a big enough roasting pan that I could fit 8 game hens in there just perfectly. And so they all had lemon. They were all seasoned with salt and pepper inside. And then I just cleaned the, I dried them off with a paper towel a little bit because I wanted to smear a little bit of butter on top of those game hens. And if you don't, if they're wet, it's hard to smear the butter on them. So dab them with a paper towel, dry them off, and smear just a little bit of butter over the top. I also put just a little bit underneath the skin of the breasts. And just a little bit of butter, just let a little tiny little bit in there, and then a little salt, a little pepper, a little, I had this really great, and I don't know where it came from, a really great lemon pepper. It had bigger chunks of lemon and bigger chunks of pepper, and it was super flavorful, and I don't know where I got it. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. It was in a little jar at my house, and my husband said, here, use this. This is great, and I don't know where it came from. Someone gave it to us as a gift, and I sprinkled that on top, as well as a little bit of red pepper, and then I squirted on a little bit of lemon, and each game hen I put on a one slice of Meyer lemon too. And if you don't have Meyer lemons, just use a regular lemon. However, I did notice that the trading union had bags of Meyer lemons down there in case you want to run down and get a bag. So each game hen had a little slice of Meyer lemon. I had the oven on 400 at first because I was baking bread and I had lowered it down to 400. So I put the game hens in for about 25 minutes on 400 and then without cover, without anything in the pan, put it in the oven 400 in a convection with the fan going, and then turned it down to 350 after about 25 minutes. And they took just a little over an hour and a half, probably an hour and 45 minutes to cook. They were nice and golden brown. The lemons on top were just starting to turn brown and kind of caramelize. There was plenty of juice that developed through that cooking process that I was able to baste the game hens with after the first hour. I basted them probably 3 times after that. And then when I took them out of the oven, I chopped up some parsley very fine and sprinkled it all over all of the game hens and also another squirt of lemon. And it's great. People love to have a whole game hen on their plate. I loved it. I love it because if you want to have both legs and thighs, that's just enough, because maybe just one leg and thigh isn't quite enough on a game hen. You can have both sides and save the breast for later, or you can just eat the whole thing. It's all good. And so very, very fun. And some leftovers were taken home. I have leftovers at my house. It's perfect. And it's so moist and juicy. They were delicious. Serve that with some asparagus. That's one of the best things going right now this time of the year. Some good asparagus. It's the price has gone down. It's fresh. And I have noticed, though, you really don't want to leave it sit around very long. You need to use it. So don't buy it on Sunday and think you're going to use it the following Sunday unless it's super fresh. So just keep an eye on that. When I'm making a roasted asparagus, I take the vegetable peeler and I generally just peel very quickly, you know, some of that fibrous outer layer of the asparagus, because it makes it so much easier to cut through when you're eating it whether you're using your fork or you're using your knife. So I like to do that. It doesn't take that long. It's, you know, it's kind of a pain, and then you break some because you're trying to hold it and peel at the same time. But for the most part, it's not too bad. And I just put them on a baking sheet, actually like a jelly roll pan, so just a shallow-rimmed baking pan with parchment underneath. Spread them out. If you have them too layered, they're not going to get some of that crispiness that they get when you roast them. Spread them out with a little olive oil and a sprinkle of sea salt. I also put a little bit of lemon on those too and put them in the oven. And I just put them in with the game hens kind of on the top rack for the last half hour of the game hens cooking, and it was perfect. They were done at just the right time. In fact, as soon as the asparagus was done, I was like, okay, I think the game hens are ready to go. And of course, then we had scalloped potatoes, actually. They were delicious. Perfect. So it was a perfect meal. Started off with the kale, and then, you know, I used a kind of platters so you could fit, you know, a little bit of asparagus in between the potatoes and the game hen. So very good, along with some good wine. And then for dessert, we made carrot cake. So I'm going to give you the carrot cake recipe. And basically, it's just like any other cake recipe. Start in your blender, not your blender, but in your mixer. 3 large eggs, a couple of cups of sugar. I used raw organic sugar. 3/4 cup of oil, vegetable oil, and 3/4 cup of buttermilk. I love cakes with buttermilk. You know me from past What's for Dinner shows. I really am a user of buttermilk. So mix all that up in your mixer, and it'll be nice and creamy and light yellow, and the sugar's going to melt in there. And then add a couple of cups of all-purpose flour, a couple of teaspoons of baking soda, a half a teaspoon of salt, and a couple of teaspoons of ground cinnamon. And then also add, actually I forgot to tell you to add to that egg mixture, you want to add a couple teaspoons of vanilla extract too. But if you forget, you know, this is the kind of recipe, really, you could throw it all in at once, too, and it's still going to be good. But start by your wet ingredients, your eggs, add your sugar, your vegetable oil, and your buttermilk. Let that sugar melt in that liquid. Then add your flour, baking soda, salt, ground cinnamon. And then I added a couple of cups of grated carrot, and I was almost running short on carrot. So make sure you have all the ingredients you need when you first start. Also, a small can of drained crushed pineapple gives it a little extra oomph on that. So an 8-ounce can. And then I used what I had left of some flaked coconut, which was about 1 cup. 1 cup of flaked coconut. Maybe not quite that much, but if you don't have the flaked coconut, that would be okay. However, this cake, the coconut is perfect. And this would also make a really good muffin, too. You can make a muffin out of this. This will make a 3-layer carrot cake. You could also make like a big sheet cake with it, too. And this would be really good as a like a carrot bar, carrot cake bar. So you want to prepare your 3 cake pans, round cake pans, and I took a roll of parchment and I layered it 3 times, and I traced my cake pan and cut out 3 round pieces of parchment. And after I greased and floured my cake pans, I put the parchment on the bottom of each one. I know I really didn't need to grease and butter the bottoms, but I did anyway. And it just makes the cake so much easier to come out, because I'm going to put this glaze on top of the cake, and it's going to soak almost like you know, well, any cake that you put a glaze on, how it kind of soaks in. And it's just, it's easier to get out if you put that layer of parchment down there. So you're going to bake it in a 350 oven for 25 to 30 minutes. And 30 minutes will do it. It's such an easy recipe. And then let those cool. But while you're letting, while they're in the oven and baking, then this is the first time I actually made a buttermilk glaze to go over the top. I happen to have the buttermilk for the cake. So I made a nice buttermilk glaze, or kind of like a caramel. But it wasn't a sticky caramel that you had to spread on top. This glaze just kind of sunk in just a little bit and gave the cake a nice caramely, tangy caramel flavor to it. It really adds to the cake. So a cup of sugar, and once again, organic raw sugar, because that's all I had in the house. I did have some powdered sugar. But a cup of raw sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda, 1/2 cup of buttermilk, 1/2 cup of butter. Also, I used 1 tablespoon of maple syrup and a little bit of vanilla. So you're just going to put a saucepan on medium heat, medium-high heat, and the sugar, the baking soda, the buttermilk, and the butter, and the maple syrup, put it all in there and stir it around and let it come to a boil. And you're going to boil it for about 4 minutes when it comes to a boil and stir it often. It's going to start turning a creamy tan. So it starts to caramelize. And it'll really bubble up. That buttermilk will start bubbling up with the sugar and the baking soda. Super great. So let that bubble up a little bit. It starts to turn brown. You're going to need to keep stirring it, just like any caramel. And then take it off the heat, add your vanilla, and just let it sit there. Wait for your cakes to come out. When they come out, you just drizzle some over the top of each cake. And I had a little extra buttermilk glaze left over, which would be perfect for apple slices or anything else you want to use it for. And then just let that sit, and it's just going to seep down into the cake and let your cakes cool completely. And that's it. Whatever kind of frosting you want to use, I used a cream cheese frosting once the cakes were cool to layer them. A little bit of cream cheese frosting in between each layer, and then the cream cheese frosting on the outside. I used just one package of cream cheese. I also used a little bit of sour cream, maybe 1/4 cup, and then powdered sugar, of course, and some vanilla, and that was my cream cheese frosting. You could use a little honey in that, would be really great. A little bit of an orange juice in there, or some grated orange would be perfect too for that cake too. Now that I'm thinking about all the things I could do with that cake. I also used walnuts in the cake. I don't know if I mentioned that. I used 1 cup of chopped walnuts, but pistachios would be really good in there too. So you can play around with it, but it is a really good cake, and it's not too difficult to make. If you let your layers cool really quick, really well, so they're cool when you go to put the cake together, just like any frosting, you know, you smear a little bit on the first layer, put the second layer on, third layer, and then you make a little crumb layer of frosting, even though it's not buttercream. But just, you know, run your knife around, and just so it's got a very thin layer, you can see the whole cake under there. But it just, and then cool that off in the refrigerator so it hardens. And then I like to also harden the frosting just a little bit. My house was so warm yesterday from baking so much and cooking all day that, you know, I really needed to put things like covered on the porch and try to find room in the fridge. But allowing that frosting to cool so it wasn't so runny was very helpful. And anyway, it was a great cake, great frosting. If you want that recipe, mindy@kfsk.org. Just email me. And so that's Sunday dinner at my house. I'm still full from the meal last night. No, actually, I did have lunch, and I didn't have leftovers of that, though, because I want to wait and have leftovers tonight. But I did have a couple bites of cake when I ran home for lunch really quick, and it was so good the next day. Coming up next, we're going to talk about simple, easy curd made from citrus, berries, and more, because guess what? Citrus and berries, we know what that's all about. Chelan, they're here today. They'll be here tomorrow. We've got great citrus and berries in the grocery stores, and it's just going to get better from here, everybody. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And today we're talking about curds, not cheese curds, although we could talk about that too. Love those. But fruit curds and berry curds made with juice and or sometimes purees too. But one thing, a couple things that all curds have, they usually have eggs, butter, juice. Some curds have cornstarch in them. You can also use fresh herbs in curds, like thyme is such a great herb in different curds. Lemon thyme, you know, you can get that. Thyme with lemon, thyme with all sorts of different curds. Basil can be used, a little rosemary here and there. Don't be afraid to try some herbs, which I love to do. In a lot of my cooking, I like to herb it up a little bit and give it a little bit of a twist. Ginger is always great. Of course, zests from your citrus. So curds can be used. What do you use a curd for besides just, you know, eating it with a spoon right out of the jar? You can spread it on pastries. You can fill muffins with curd. You can use curds to make a tart, and then you can put berries or fruit on top of that. Curds can layer in between cake layers for a nice creamy filling. Many times you'll put like a frosting on, and then you'll put like a curd over that, or you'll just put curd in between layers instead of frosting. You can lay a curd down underneath a dessert for just a little extra creamy zip to have with each bite of something. So many things that you can do with curds. And I was excited last week when I gave you the recipe for the strawberry lemon cupcakes that you could serve with the strawberry curd. So now is the time to get your berries, get your citrus, and make some curd. I'm picturing little jars filled with all different curds, and you know how beautiful that will be with all the colors. Blueberry curd with that purple color, and a grapefruit curd, if you have a pink grapefruit, will have that light pink color to it. Rhubarb curd will also be a dusty rose color. Lemon being the bright yellow. Lime you know, being a little of a light green. So picture all of that, and let's get on with some curd recipes. So I decided, yes, we needed to have a rhubarb ginger curd. And this recipe came from Larder of Love. And this is a rhubarb ginger curd. You need 2 ounces, or 1 pound, 2 ounces of rhubarb. Fresh rhubarb, of course. A half of an inch of fresh ginger grated. Juice and zest from half of an orange. 3 large eggs. 6 ounces of unsalted butter. And 5 ounces of superfine sugar. How many of you have superfine sugar in your house? Probably not a lot, but you can make superfine sugar by blending it, or just running it through the food processor. Maybe you do have the superfine sugar. It's something I hardly ever have, and so I just put it through the food processor and process it down. You can also use a hand, you can use one of the hand stick blenders too, and put your sugar in a bowl and, you know, use one of those hand blenders and immersion blenders, and that will chop up your sugar super fine too. Those are always fun to use. Chop the rhubarb and whiz it in the food processor to a pulp. Press it through a sieve into a glass or ceramic bowl that will fit over a saucepan containing simmering water. You could also use a double boiler if you have one. But that, you know, bowl over the saucepan works just great. You're going to add the freshly squeezed orange juice and the zest, as well as the grated ginger. And then you're going to add the eggs and stir it continuously. It'll start to thicken. Add the sugar and keep stirring. Add the butter, chopped into small pieces, and keep stirring. And once the curd starts coating the back of your spoon, it'll be really hard to not want to lick it, because I'm sure it's delicious. It'll set up more as it cools in the jar. So when it starts coating the back of the spoon, then you're pretty much done. Pour the curd through a sieve to remove any other little bits and pieces, like maybe a little bit of egg that might have cooked up or something. And then store that in the fridge and use it within a month. And it'll have that beautiful rose pink color, dusty rose. And even little shortbread cookies, you can put a little dollop of curd on that. There's so much you can do. So that's your first curd recipe. Let's talk about more about berries, since we have a lot of berries. And, of course, grapefruit. Okay, blueberry lemon curd. You need 2 cups of fresh blueberries, 1/2 cup of fresh lemon juice, and another little plug for the Meyer lemons here. If you can find Meyer lemons, which I did see them at the trading union, you'd want to try to pick those up, because they aren't as tart. You can actually, you know, take a Meyer lemon half and put it in your mouth, and it's just going to be full of lemon flavor, but it's not going to be so bitter that you want to spit it out. Another thing about Meyer lemons is that you can actually eat the Meyer lemons once you've cooked them too, like the game hens I made this weekend. You can actually cut off a piece of the Meyer lemon with your meat and eat it, and it's delicious. The rinds are thinner, and they aren't as tart. It doesn't have that that pithy white underneath the skin there. That's really doesn't taste good. Anyway, we're going to move on. So you need a half a cup of fresh lemon juice, 3 egg yolks, and then 1 whole egg, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, and 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter cut into cubes. Once again, in a small saucepan, you combine the blueberries and the lemon juice. Cover and place over medium heat. Cook until the blueberries start popping and the liquid bubbles about 5 minutes. And they'll start releasing their juices. Pass the blueberries through a strainer, pressing with a spoon, and scrape all of that purple puree on the underside of the strainer into the bowl to use. So whatever gets through the strainer, use it. Pour the blueberry puree back into the saucepan and set aside to cool. Then you're going to whisk together the egg yolks and the egg until combined. While whisking, pour in the sugar and whisk it into a light yellow color. And a lot of these recipes are going to be a little bit different, but it's the same sort of thing. You know, whisking the, like the cake, whisking the sugar with the egg is really good. It starts to break the sugar down and melt it. And then it kind of unconcentrates the egg, if you know what I mean. It kind of tempers the egg a little bit without adding any heat to it. Add the egg mixture to the blueberry puree in the saucepan and continue whisking until creamy and well incorporated, about a minute. Place over medium heat. You're going to whisk constantly until the custard thickens and coats the back of your wooden spoon. About 8 to 10 minutes. Remove the pan from the heat. Stir in the butter, 1 cube at a time, or in little pieces, and strain into a bowl or jars, because you're going to remember, get all those little bits that might have accumulated there. Cover the surface with plastic wrap like you do pudding, so it doesn't get that film over the top or custard, and chill in the refrigerator for at least an hour. And then it's done. And you can store that in the fridge too. So, blueberry lemon curd. Yum. Another berry, of course, that we can get now. We can get blackberries. We can get raspberries. This is the same recipe really for both. But wouldn't it be beautiful to just see a decadent blackberry curd tart, that real deep purple color on a tart? Maybe with some other bright fruit on top. It would be beautiful. Or something green, whatever that would be. We have to come up with it. Maybe, we'll think about that. But for raspberry curd, 1 pound of fresh raspberries, about 1.5 cups, after sieving through a sieve. So 1 pound of fresh raspberries, this one uses 1 couple of eggs plus 3 egg yolks. A little richer. And then 1 cup of super fine brown sugar. And to make the super fine brown sugar, you just put through the food processor, or you use your little hand blender and blend it right while it's in the bowl. Also, 8 tablespoons of butter. And you could really use, for a lot of these, if you're supposed to put them through a blender or a food processor, if you want to go ahead and use your immersion blender for all of it, you can do that. So once you put the raspberries through the sieve, you're going to measure off your pureed fruit, and you should get about 1.5 to 2 cups. Set it aside. And then, like we did before, whisk the egg yolks and the sugar together. The eggs, the egg yolks, and the sugar. And then once you've done that, then you can add the sugar to your raspberry mixture. And for this recipe, it calls for making using a double boiler. So making your water in a, putting your water in a saucepan, and then the bowl over the top, rather than allowing the saucepan to be right on the heat of your stove. So you can use that with every recipe, whatever you're comfortable with. So you're going to add that egg mixture to the blueberry mixture and keep mixing. Once it has heated up and started to boil as your... Well, you don't want it to boil because it's got eggs in it, but keep it nice and warm. Then you're going to add your butter. And there you have it. It'll start to get nice and thick. Coat the back of the spoon. And then what do you do after that? You run it back through the sieve to collect any clumps that may have formed and put those into clean jars or in a bowl. Make sure you cover it with plastic so it doesn't form that skin on top, and you've got your raspberry curd. Isn't this fun? I love blood orange. So I have a recipe here just for ideas. A blood orange curd, a pineapple curd, of course, lemon curd. You can make lime curd. It's all done the same way, everybody. Remember that you can add some herbs to this. And also a ginger grapefruit curd. For the ginger grapefruit, a cup of freshly squeezed grapefruit juice, strained. 5 tablespoons of unsalted butter. A half a cup of sugar, super fine sugar. Or you could use a quarter cup of honey, which would be so good. A couple large egg yolks, and then a couple large eggs. And this one calls for a little bit of sea salt in it, a little bit of a zip with that, and a tablespoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice, and a tablespoon of fresh ginger juice. And, of course, you're going to make it just about the same way. Your eggs and your sugar go together. You take your juices and your and you heat that up either over a double boiler or something like that or on the stove. And then add your egg sugar mixture to it. Continue stirring. Delicious. And then, of course, I mentioned blood orange. Some zest also from your blood oranges, and some lemon juice would really good with that one. Pineapple curd, you'd use sugar, salt, pineapple, lemon. So 1.5 cups of pineapple juice, 3 tablespoons of lemon. You can play around with it. 5 egg yolks. So most of the recipes call for 4 to 5 eggs. Some of them have a couple whole eggs, and others just have egg yolks. And then, of course, your basic lemon curd. But before we stop talking about curds today, I wanted to give you a recipe for a beetroot curd. I got this from the New Zealand Herald. And so this is a beet curd. You could use golden beets or you could use red beets. And the thought of this beet curd going on like a rosemary cracker or a rosemary, I want to say cookie, but it would be a thicker, more of a biscuit with a little bit of goat's cheese and a little teaspoon of this beetroot curd would be wonderful. So I'm going to give you the beetroot curd from the New Zealand Herald. You need 1 pound of beets, 1/2 cup of lemon juice, and which would be about 2 lemons, and then finely grated zest from those 2 lemons. So you have your beets, your zest, your lemon juice, 1/2 cup of butter, 2 1/4 cups of superfine sugar, and 4 large eggs. So you're going to bake the beets and peel them. Once you've done that, put them, puree them and mash them with in your food processor, probably is the best way to do this one. You really want it to get it nice and mashed because you're not going to push out all the juice on this one. It's going to be a little thicker with, you know, the puree. Stir in the lemon and the sugar and let it sit overnight in the beet puree. Then the next day, you're going to, in your double boiler or your pan with the water and the bowl over the top, you're going to heat the puree back up that has the lemon and sugar in it, add the eggs and butter, and bring it to a real high heat. Make sure you don't scramble those eggs, so you don't want it boiling. When done, you pour it into your hot sterilized jars, and cover it with a little bit of plastic so it doesn't form that film on the top, and let that cool. And you can serve it, of course, like I said, with some goat's cheese. Maybe you want to use feta cheese, whatever. That beet puree will be perfect on many, many, many dishes if you like beets. And then the golden puree would be great too. Golden beets, you'll love those. So I hope I've inspired you to pick up some eggs and butter and go for the curd. Try the curd. Coming up next on What's for Dinner, it's the drink of the week. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. On Singley Alley and open 7 days a week. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for the drink of the week. And the drink of the week this week, just because, my husband's making this at home. I think his is a little more elaborate, but this is a pretty simple homemade ginger beer recipe, or ginger ale. And so I thought I'd give that to you today. Becoming very popular in drinks with vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and all of that. Always on the search for a good ginger ale, and here is a homemade recipe for that. You need to make some ginger syrup. So the first thing you need is a cup of granulated sugar. If you want to use like a raw sugar, that's fine too. Half a cup of water, a couple tablespoons of grated fresh ginger. And it is best to peel it first. It's pretty easy to peel ginger. You just use a vegetable peeler like any other vegetable. And then it's so much easier to grate. So peel the ginger, and then place the ginger, the sugar, and the water in a saucepan. Stir until the sugar is dissolved. Turn off the heat and allow the mixture to steep for about an hour. And that's your ginger syrup. You don't need to let it reduce down and all of that like you may want to use in other drinks. This you're just going to turn off the heat, allow it to steep, then strain it and discard all of that ginger, the ginger bits, the grated ginger solids, and allow it to cool. So For the full ginger beer experience, you're going to place a funnel in the top of a bottle, and probably works best if you use a plastic bottle. If you want to use a glass bottle, just be careful, because with the fermentation process on this, you always need to release the gases, or that bottle's going to explode. At least with the plastic, you get a little bit of give here and there. But I'm one who likes to use glass, so go for the glass. It's up to you. Just make sure you're keeping an eye on it. Or if you happen to have, you know, some fermentation equipment, you can put a fermentation cap on there or something like that. You're going to sprinkle in some yeast. So about an eighth of a teaspoon of active dry yeast. Sprinkle that into the bottle. Then the syrup, and you're going to need, all the syrup that you made, with the 1 cup of sugar, the 1/2 cup of water, and the 2 tablespoons of fresh ginger. And also lemon juice. You're going to need 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice. And then 7 cups of water. Preferably, you want to use water that's been filtered or bottled water for this. Put the lid on the bottle and shake it up until the yeast is dissolved. Stow it in a little shelf in your pantry, kind of out of direct sunlight, for 2 to 3 days, or until it starts to fizz, and then it's ready to drink. There you have it, ginger beer. And you need to store it in the refrigerator to stop it from fermenting. It's not ever going to stop it, but it will slow it down. And remember, that pressure will build up. You don't want it to explode, so you need to keep releasing that pressure. But go ahead and start drinking it. It's so easy to make that you can make a couple bottles a week and be drinking it right away. So give it a shot and let me know how it turns out. Serve it over ice, and delicious. Can't wait to see how it turns out in my house, the ginger beer that we've got going brewing right now. But this one's pretty easy, and you can try it in a heartbeat. You probably have everything you need. You know, if you have a lemon and you have some yeast, the sugar and the ginger, that's it. That's really all you need. And besides that, you just need a good bottle. And that's it for the drink of the week. Before we go, for my sweet tooth today, since we were talking about curd, I just wanted to share with you these cutest little tarts that I saw on Pinterest. They're super cute, and they're perfect for spring or, let's say, a tea party. If you've got a tea party coming up, this would be the perfect little tart, and it's very easy to do. So these are mini lemon tarts, but you can make any sort of curd you want. You could do, you know what would be really cute is if you did some blueberry curd, some lemon curd, some lime curd, and maybe a strawberry curd. And so you had the different colors of curd. You need 1 unbaked pie crust. So whether you buy a Pillsbury or Betty Crocker or you make your own, doesn't matter. I mean, the end result, the curd will take over. But if you're in a hurry, just buy the unbaked pie crust. You need, and it needs to not be in a pan already. You need to just roll it out. You also need a jar of lemon curd, 1 tablespoon of powdered sugar, 1 mini muffin tin, and 1 flower-shaped cookie cutter. You probably have that around if you've got kids. Unroll the pie crust, or roll out your own pie crust, and cut out as many flowers as possible in it. Re-roll the scraps and cut more flowers. So you want about 12 flower-shaped dough pieces. And then center each flower over your mini muffin tin depression, and you're going to fold alternate petals inward and push the dough down into the bottom of your mini muffin tin, and it's still going to have petals on the outside. You want to use like every other muffin tin, because they're not going to fit if you use every one. They're going to touch each other. So every other one. And Prick the bottom of each unbaked dough shell with a fork. Bake at 425 degrees for about 5 to 7 minutes until golden brown. So you've made these easy little pie tarts. They're empty right now. And then remove them to a plate. Fill each with a few teaspoons of the curd. And then dust with powdered sugar over the top. And they're like these perfect little bite-sized flowers. Kids are going to love them. I'm going to love them. But I thought it would be really cute. I wish I would have given this recipe before Easter, but we're just in time for the tea parties and spring this and that, and May Day coming up in April 1st. And that's it for What's for Dinner today. Thanks for joining me. I hope I've inspired you to pick up some berries and citrus, make the curd. I know what I'm going to be doing this weekend. I'm going to be making some of those little flowers. And a few more things, because it's mother-daughter tea this weekend. So on Monday, I'll be sharing all sorts of tea party recipes with you. That's coming up next week on What's for Dinner. Have a great week. Happy cooking.